Well, hello and welcome back. It's good to be with you. I hope that you're having a great day. It's a beautiful day this afternoon when I'm filming this. It was rainy and windy over the weekend, and it's still breezy today, but it's beautiful to be outside, and it's beautiful to be able to meet with our Lord. I'm so thankful that in His love, He's brought us to Himself in an eternal relationship. He wants us to know Him, and He's given us this time so that we can hear from Him and grow in His grace. And I hope that that's what you experience in these times, and that our times together help you to know our Lord better, to be able to trust Him more, just to understand who He is. And since we've come together for the purpose of meeting with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. Lord, the way that You have watched over us through the weekend, and Lord, have just given us such a beautiful day. And Father, we thank You most of all, O God, for Your love for us. Father, You have created us. Father, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have made us Your own again as Your chosen and adopted children. And Father, You desire to speak to us. And as we're here this afternoon, Father, I ask that You open our minds and our hearts. Help us to hear from You, to know You better, to love You better, to grow in Your grace, to trust You more. Father, bless our time here, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure all of us have gone through life thinking that if I can get through this situation or this circumstance, things will be a whole lot better. You know, sometimes it's a stage of life. When we're younger, we think, man, if I can just get out of high school, and then we go to college or some other type of training, we think if we can just get through this and get to, you know, into the job market, we will be so much better off. I had a friend one time in college, as we, you know, started getting through our senior year, he said, man, I'm ready to pay somebody to let me go to work. He was just so ready to get out of college. And then, of course, you get that first job and works great for a while. Then you begin to look for another job, or things aren't going too well. You want to move up, whatever the case may be. And we always think that the next stage is better or easier or whatever the case may be. And yet, many times, you know, God opens wonderful doors. I'm not taking away from that. But what we discover is that no matter how much of a blessing that next stage is that there are always going to be problems or issues or adversities or difficulties. And that's not to be negative. That's just to be realistic about life. Well, what do we do when we face those problems or those situations? You know, in the stage we're in, or if we've gotten to that next stage and we thought all the problems and difficulties were going to be behind us, and all of a sudden we find out, no, we've just exchanged one set of problems for another set of problems. Sometimes they're actually more. Sometimes they're increasingly difficult. What do we do in those times? Well, as we open God's Word, we come to Psalm 71, and we get some idea. We get some ideas. We get some insight. As we look at this psalm, probably composed by David. We can't say that for certain, but he seems to be the author of it. And it seems to be written by someone in their old age. Again, we're not definitive about that, but everything in the psalm seems to lean that way. And yet here's the psalmist, probably David, gets to his old age when we would think all the problems and issues and adversities of his life would be behind him. And when he finds out that he still has problems and difficulties. Again, like us, we get to that stage and we find out that, you know, just because we got rid or got beyond the problems in the previous stage or chapter of life, that when we get to this next one, it's over with. How do we handle that? Well, as we look at Psalm 71, again, we get some ideas. We're given some guidance. It's a long psalm, so we'll only look over it in broad strokes, just enough to catch the feel of it, but certainly enough for us to consider and to think about as we live our lives. The first thing that we need to do when we get to that next stage, a stage that we think is going to solve all of our problems, and we find out we've still got some, is that we need to renew our trust. We need to stop and recommit ourselves to our Lord and to trusting in Him. Think of what we see as we look at verses 1 through 4. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. You see what he's saying? He's saying, God, I'm facing this circumstance, this chapter of my life, and I'm going to trust you. It's a deliberate, conscious decision and prayer. Think about what he says, dropping down to verses 9 through 14, and especially verse 14. Do not cast me off in the time of old age, which again, pretty good indication, the psalmist, probably David, is in his older age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there's no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. David there is obviously putting his trust back in the Lord. Again, we think it's David. He's saying, even in this stage of life, I have enemies, I'm in danger, I'm old. And you think about the context of that, especially for a warrior, especially a warrior in ancient times, where his speed, his agility, his strength, his coordination meant the difference between life and death on the battlefield. And yet David, again, probably David, the psalmist at least, is making the commitment that he's going to deliberately trust in the Lord. You know, as we face life, each stage of life, this stage of life you're in, this day, this situation, this circumstance that you're in, we face a choice. Am I going to trust God or not? But only when we trust Him will we have the guidance, the strength, and His presence. Today, in your present circumstances, are you going to trust Him? And I know we hear that and we think, well, you know, I sure want to, but to be honest with you, I struggle in doing that, especially up against whatever it is that we're going through this day. And that's what we need to do, the second thing we find in this psalm. That's what we need to remember, God's faithfulness. Go back and look at verses 5 through 7. For you are my hope. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I've been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. Look at verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Look at verses 19 through 21. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things. O God, who is like you? You have shown me many troubles and distresses. You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. You know, he looks back and he finds out that God had always protected him, provided for him, and guided for him. He looks back and says, God has never failed me, even over all of these years. And again, all the implications we saw just a moment ago. So this is a psalm written by someone in their old age, probably David. And he says, you know, as far back as I can look, God never failed me. You know, one of the advantages of increasing years is the fact that we can look back and see an increasing number of instances that we have seen God work and have provide for us. I mean, you look back on your life, your walk with the Lord. Has He ever failed you? You take the time, you think about it, how He met your needs, how He gave strength, how He gave guidance. We need to deliberately, consciously remember that. We need to discipline ourselves to think that way. And we begin to think about, you know, how God's never failed us in the past. It makes it a lot easier to trust Him in the present, doesn't it? And so we need to remember what God has in fact done based upon the fact that we've made the decision now that we're going to trust Him as we pray, face the present circumstances. But then number three, we need to recount God's faithfulness. You know, God's work in our life is certainly a blessing for us, but it's also a testimony of His greatness and glory for others as we share with them what God has done for us. Look what we see in verse 8 and then verses 16 through 18. But you think of what we read in verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise and your glory all day long. You think about what he says there, and then drop down to verses 16 through 18. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. And listen to the last part of this verse very carefully. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who come. You think about what the psalmist is saying there. God, I want to tell those who are coming behind me. We need to share with those around us how God has helped us. Now, obviously, it helps us because it reinforces and reminds us of God's faithfulness, but certainly a witness to the lost that this God of the Bible is, in fact, real and true, and they can put his faith, their faith and trust and confidence in him, but also strengthens believers so they will trust him in the circumstances that they find themselves in. But we need to trust God. We need to praise God. We need to share what God has, in fact, done. And then that leaves us then to the last thing that we need to do. Number four, we need to rejoice in God's faithfulness. Look at verses 22 through 24. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed and humiliated who seek my hurt. Notice as we read that the problem does not seem to be over with, but he has chosen to remember what God has done and to focus on God's faithfulness and, in fact, to rejoice in him. You know, the simple truth of the matter is our attitude is really a choice. We choose the attitude we have. We can't choose circumstances. We choose our attitude about it. And if we know that we have a God who is sovereign, a God who is faithful, a God who is all-powerful, a God who is loving, a God who is faithful, there's absolutely no reason to be sour or negative or pessimistic. We have every reason to rest and, in fact, to rejoice in him, knowing because no matter what we face, our Father will carry us. And that ought to change our whole perspective as we look at the circumstances that we're in. We need to make that decision that we're truly going to rejoice in our God, to praise him. I know we don't like to think about it, but again, every stage of life has its problems. I know we always think, if I can just get through this, everything will be better. And sure, that problem or a group of problems may be resolved, but the very next stage will have problems as well. But our God is greater than all of our problems in every stage of life, and he will never fail us. He never has, he never will, and we can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Lord, as we face this stage of life, O Lord, the circumstances of this day, Lord, lead us to make the decision to trust in you. Help us to remember how faithful, O God, that you have been. Father, help us to share that with those around us. And, O God, when we contemplate all that, lead us, O God, to rejoice in you. For, O God, you're worthy. Thank you for your love, your trustworthiness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope in whatever you're facing today that you can trust the Lord, that you'll see him work and move. You'll share that with those around you, and you'll use it as a way of giving honor and praise and glory to God. And I hope as you see him work that you truly do have a great day in the Lord.